Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to Educational HR Radio. Today, our guest is the one, the only, Katie Jones. She's the CEO of Strategic HRUS. And today we're going to be talking about succession, success lessons, and strategic HR events. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me.
And to the guests that are listening today, all full disclosure, I know Katie very well. We've watched her grow up in the HR strategic US role. And now, of course, you're running the show. Look at that.
Yeah, we've known each other going on a decade now, from when I started back in my early days of an HR career. And I'm really excited to be running this ship now and apply my vision to what happens next with the strategic HR events.
Yeah, no, it's great. And we're going to be talking about that today. But you know, it's interesting. Certainly, strategic HR is known by most organizations for the main HR convention, the strategic HR convention up at the Mount Washington, and also some events that you used to do for a comp and different areas. But the reality is that you have been working under a legacy leader, a legacy owner, Bud Bernstein, and a lot of people know Bud. So I guess as we're talking about succession, talk about the fact of how did this all come about? Tell us a little bit about how you and why you decided to be interested in the business, and then we'll get into some of the details.
Sure. Bud Bernstein is an icon in the HR world in New England from creating these events. And it was apparent to me as soon as I joined his organization exactly why. He's an incredible leader and a very creative mind and has brought together really wonderful voices from throughout the HR community and outside of the HR community to shape and inspire the world of work that we create as HR professionals. I came from maybe a non-traditional background of a upbringing in professional sports and the arts, not two industries really well known for their HR practices. In fact, a lot of the organizations that I worked with didn't necessarily have an HR person. But I came to this career with that background of event production, and then making the switch to the corporate side and looking at event production for conferences. And as soon as I started working for Bud and working in this HR space, I immediately became in love with it. I was enamored with all of the topics that we were talking about. I found not only the fun, like juicy stuff of HR, but even like the compliance and talking to the lawyers about the rules and what's right and wrong. I was a sponge. I wanted to absorb it all. And I went from managing the talent there. I say I went from managing athletes to actors to conference speakers, but went from managing the talent to really trying to understand the core principles and pillars of what makes a conference successful. And particularly in the HR space, how we can help change the future of work and the nature of how we work in our organizations.
So you came from a non-traditional, obviously, though I would argue some of the conference speakers are a lot like actors and maybe have egos, some of them like athletes. So I suspect you were better prepared than you might have thought at the time. You know, tell us a little bit about, obviously, your background, where you came from, what got you into this type of industry. Give us a little bit of that.
Sure. So there are kind of three main beliefs that I think have shaped who I am as a person and then ultimately led into the career that I have. The first being that I truly believe time is the most precious resource that any of us have. It's the only thing that can't be bought, sold, traded, and really none of us know exactly how much time we have. So how we choose to spend that time is incredibly important. Second, I'm a big believer in democracy and diplomacy. I grew up in Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C., with the federal government basically in my backyard. I also am a middle child and would operate as the peacemaker between my older and younger sisters all the time. So that idea of being diplomatic was just ingrained in me from a very young age. And then finally, I've always been a people person, although I will and we'll probably talk about this later. I do definitely identify as an introvert. I love people. I am a social introvert. I love hosting. I love entertaining. And friends and family have always gravitated towards me since a young age to share their problems or seek advice. I was a confidant for a lot of folks. So those that knew me at a young age are not surprised that I've wound up in an HR or an HR adjacent field. They say I've been an HR person since I was a kid. alongside of that, I was obsessed with the concept of work at a very young age. I was always changing my answer of what I wanted to be when I grew up because I found many different careers incredibly fascinating. I wanted to know, learn, and experience every type of job out there. So I was more excited counting down to when I turned 13 and could get my worker's permit than I actually was to get my driver's license at 16. I even, looking back, recognized that a lot of my favorite movies and TV shows were based around work, and many of those stories shaped my ideas of what work looks like. There's classic Office Space, the movie, but things like Just Shoot Me, the Drew Carey Show, and even some of the sitcoms like Friends and Seinfeld, my favorite episodes and scenes are based around their office environments. So I was fascinated by this idea that most people will spend most of their waking hours, and again, believing that time is incredibly precious, they'll spend most of their time at work. And yet in so many of these stories that I was seeing, they seem to really hate being at work. Or at best, we saw that people were indifferent and they were there to collect a paycheck. A lot of that was mirrored in what I saw from my parents and the other grownups around me, teachers and folks as I grew up. But every so often, I'd come across someone that was just so passionate and in love with their career, and I would really wonder what makes work different for them. There are even all of these examples of people who work without compensation or pay. There's volunteer firefighters or Wikipedia editors or anyone who volunteers for anything. And what makes them want to show up and spend their precious time with certain people, certain organizations, or projects? And that became a really fascinating concept to me over the years.
There's no question that clearly you were destined to work in this type of environment based upon that. And I think it's interesting to understand that, as you mentioned, you kind of took over the reins from somebody who had built an iconic brand, which was the main, especially the main HR convention. And in all this, that you look at it today and say, well, do I keep it the same? Do I think of it differently? What do I want to change? What don't I want to change? You know, the old adage is, it's, let's not fix what's not broke, right? So tell us a little bit about how you decided to, or when you decided about actually taking on the business and how the succession conversation went.
Sure. So when I really stepped into leadership at this organization or Bud's organization before my own was when the pandemic first hit us in March of 2020. We were about 8 weeks out from our largest event of the year, which is the main HR convention, and had the really difficult decision to decide, are we going to continue with an event? Because at that time, they weren't even necessarily barring us from holding one. They were just saying, like, wash your hands and make sure people aren't getting too close to each other. Or were we going to take an alternative path and do something like cancel the event or go to a virtual format? And I, being a millennial, came of age with the internet, and I had a lot of background and unique perspective of how we could leverage technology and tools like the internet to continue our mission of connecting HR professionals and providing education and inspiration to these folks when we suddenly couldn't gather in person in the way that we wanted to. So I pitched the idea of transforming to a virtual conference to Bud, and he trusted my vision. And in 8 weeks, we transformed what was a very well-oiled machine of a 25 plus year operation into this whole new format where we were online on the screen gathering HR professionals in what was a very critical time in their careers as well. When we came back to in-person events, I think Bud saw what I had done with that virtual element and saw that coming back to the new world of work post a pandemic, we were going to need to leverage technology and the internet and things like that in ways that he had not fully wrapped his head around prior to a pandemic hitting us. And I was positioned in this really great space of understanding the events prior as in-person events and then online as virtual events, and the Venn diagram of what those things look like and where they overlap, what makes a great conference experience in general, but what we want to really leverage and emphasize when we're in person and what we want to leverage and emphasize when we are online. And I'm really glad that Bud saw that I had that vision and put his faith in me to carry his life's work forward. I'm very grateful for that.
You know, one of the questions that obviously comes up when you're talking about succession is, especially when you have a legacy leader, is these are certainly known as Bud's events. There's no question about it, right? And so, as you aptly put in when we were talking before the show, how do you deal with a fact when there's no Bud event, when there's no Bud in the word event?
Absolutely. When the first conversation around succession came up, it was actually well before before that pandemic conversation or before we transformed the events. Bud was looking at retirement when I first joined the organization almost 10 years ago. And we had a lot of conversations as an organization of this is Bud's conference. Folks know this is Bud's conference. Bud has Bud's buddies that show up and they're longtime loyalists. And when there is no more Bud, what does that mean for the event? And to me, that meant a large part of the strategy moving forward was going to be to make sure that the convention stood on its own legs, that the convention and Strategic HR at Mount Washington, both of the events, had their own legacy, not just the legacy of the leader. I didn't want to transform the event from Bud's event into Katie's event, but instead I wanted it to operate and be successful and live on no matter who was sitting in the CEO chair.
No, it makes perfect sense. It's also one of the challenges of any organization when you have it attached to a name or attached to something else. It doesn't necessarily stand alone without that. So that makes a lot of sense. And then you move forward and then you had the conversation about this happening. Mm-hmm. And obviously you decided to say, well, how do we make that happen? What did you take it from there?
Sure. So it feels like a scene out of Succession when I think back on it, but Bud brought me out west. We took a trip to the mountains of Utah and had a very high-minded conversation where we sat down in a big glassed-in room and talked about what does this leadership transition really look like? What strengths do I have that I can leverage moving forward with the future vision of the company? What are we losing with Bud stepping away? And what does the next phase of this business look like? We really mapped out a timeline. We mapped out a project plan, steps of, he called it Bud University, where we had different sessions about once a month where he would say, here's some part of business wisdom that I have learned over the years that I want to impart on you. And we went through financials, we went through relationships, we went through the strategy of the event curation. And I absorbed as much as I could from that while all filtering through my lens of what I wanted to do with the future of the company and kind of creating a roadmap from there. His mentorship is something that I think was invaluable in the transition. And I know that Bud, as a legacy leader, has imparted so much of his core values and what he built this company around on me. And I'm very grateful to be able to carry that forward. It's one of those things that his core values will be with this company as long as it exists, because he has mentored me and I hope to mentor the next person and continue that chain of endorsement and shared lessons over the years.
That's awesome. And of course, you're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back for more.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust, and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y. Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home. Sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot. Driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe. Put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clef, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HRPowerUp.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and this is Educational HR Radio. Our guest today is Katie Jones, CEO of Strategic HR, and we're talking about succession success lessons and strategic HR events. And Katie's very impressed that I was able to say that without having to go through five edits to make that happen.
I am. That's quite a tongue twister of a title.
It is. It is. And we made that work. It's very good. You know, we talked about in the first segment about basically what led up to the succession and some of the lessons and mentorships that you went through, a little bit about your background and all that. So take us forward from there. You got together, you talked about succession, you talked about what that might look like. He started meeting with you monthly. You started talking about the transition. Talk a little bit about this different leaders concept, because you did have different strengths in him and he has different strengths in you. And how did you look at that, and how do you compensate for that?
Sure. Yeah, that's a really great question, and one that I wrestled with quite a bit at the beginning of the transition. I spoke with a lot of my mentors, what I call my personal board of directors, a lot of the folks around me to say, what has made a great leader at organizations you've been a part of when you've been through leadership transitions in the past? What were the sticky parts? What made it difficult? And were there any great successes I could learn from? And I was pointed in the direction of a business book by Marshall Goldsmith called What Got You Here Won't Get You There, which I think a lot of folks are familiar with. Maybe in Maine, we should call it You Can't Get There From Here, but
that's probably true.
It's written really to the individual, focusing on the characteristics and behaviors that we need to look at and examine when you move from an individual contributor position to a leadership position. But I wanted to look at it, use that concept and apply it to the organization as well. What brought the organization to the 25-year mark with Bud is not what's going to get it through the next 25 years. And Bud often called his business a 25-year-old startup. He ran it in a very creative way with a lot of innovation and big ideas. And it required a certain leader to get us to that point. And now, after taking on leadership in a very tumultuous time when we had been through virtual events and then back to in person, I needed to be a very different kind of leader than he was to stabilize things. I needed to rebuild our staff. We were down to just me and two employees at one point, which is a far smaller team than we had been at our biggest. I needed to hire new folks that were going to champion the mission with me, but I also needed to take those two folks that came with me through the transition and reorient them and say, hey, we've landed in a safe place. We're going to move forward. Here's what's happening next. I also realized there were some technology updates we needed to make. There were some internal policies and practices that really needed to be formalized and ironed out. And ultimately, we just needed to reorient to our mission, vision, and values as an organization. It was really important to me that we came out of the pandemic with a refreshed sense of responsibility as meeting planners. We spent several years connecting over the screen, and folks learned that you could get training online. You could meet up with someone on Zoom and have coffee and network. And so when we're asking those folks to take time not only away from their desk, but to take several days and go to another location, be away from their families, we needed to build a product that was worthy of that time we are asking them for. And it wasn't about going back to before the pandemic, but of thinking of our conferences and gatherings in new ways. We wanted more individualized experiences. We wanted to facilitate those connections on site in new ways and really lean into experiential learning. With all of those goals in mind, I had to do a lot of head and heart work to understand and emphasize what parts of me and my leadership were going to bring back a sense of security to the organization. And now that we're in that secure place once again, I'm very grateful, and we're looking to growth, which is a whole other exciting time in the organization. And doing that audit and that head and heart work again of what does a growing organization need out of their leader.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about obviously how you morphed, how you changed, and you worked together. Talk about the team. Because you weren't, it wasn't just you and Bud. There are other members of the team. They certainly had, I'll call it alliances. They had connections. How did that work? How did it feel? What were some of the conversations like? Take us through that.
Sure. So there were two employees that went through the full transition from Bud to myself, and I had the benefit of working alongside them for quite a while before the transition actually happened, one of which had been with Bud since the very early days of his organization. So there was a lot of loyalty and friendship between the two of them. The second employee was actually my first direct report that I hired. So she had always worked for me as a manager, but not necessarily as the CEO, the big kahuna. So I think the transition was a little more straightforward for her. But in general, there's still a lot that's going to get ruffled when you go from one CEO to another. So I spent a lot of my early days focused on the internal team. I had a lot of conversations one-on-one with what's been working well for you here, what's not working well for you here. It has been a very tumultuous time, and what do you need to feel settled again? And we did a lot of strategic planning meetings. We had a lot of team building meetings. I really took an internal focus in that first year to make sure I was building a solid foundation that folks would be able to trust, put their faith in me, and move forward with me in this new era.
You're listening, of course, to the HR Power Hour. Our guest here is Katie Jones, CEO of Strategic HR. I'm your host, David Chugo. And of course, this is Educational HR Radio. Katie, we're talking about succession success lessons. And one of the things that is part of this, as you mentioned, is the team. And you brought two over from the original team when the transition happened. Did it occur to you, or was it something that you looked into about what did I really need for hiring? We mentioned to the fact of that you had different strengths and weaknesses than Bud, that the you were looking to do some evolution, although not break it, or right, more of upgrade it. Tell us a little about the thought processes, how that affected you, how that affected others within the team.
Sure. It was clear we needed to bring on more talent to make the team stronger and to get us back to a sustainable place. And with Bud's departure, there were some foundational elements of the organization that left with him. That can't be denied. I also know, back to the introvert-extrovert conversation, there are certain things about me that are just in direct opposition to who Bud was. Bud is a very gregarious, outgoing person who loves being on stage out in the community, whereas I'm more reserved. I like to be behind the scenes. I like to really live that servant leadership and let other folks shine. So I did a lot of reflection on what gaps were in our organization with Bud stepping away. And one of those things being that public persona, the community outreach, and some business sense, some business savvy. He's a man with many decades behind him of running an organization very successfully. And so I looked at where those gaps were and how I wanted to hire to those gaps as we moved forward. And some of those things were brought on through full-time employees that we brought to the team. And some were things that we outsourced, like the financials and bookkeeping and accounting. I know where my strengths are and I know where they're not. And I am not opposed to saying I need help with something. I think the ultimate test of a good leader, and it's cliche at this point, is to know that you don't want to be the smartest one in the room. I want to hire people around me who have incredible skills that are just not my forte, and then do whatever I can to let them shine and succeed and be the best at their role.
No, that makes perfect sense. And of course, that's how great leaders stay great leaders, is they know what their strengths are, they know what their weaknesses are. You mentioned a little bit about mentorship, and I guess there's a lot we could say about mentorship, but there's coaching, there's mentorship, there's development, there's all that. What was your definition of mentorship? And I know it was important to you, but what did it look like tactically?
Tactically, there's a lot that goes into mentorship. There's many different faces to it, as you're alluding to. And I have been on the mentor side of the relationship a lot more than I've been on the mentee side, which is kind of interesting. I was a big sister to a couple of girls in Big Brothers Big Sisters, and I served as an advisor for the Olympia Snow Women's Leadership Institute. I've held that role of trying to share my lessons and mistakes and bruises from life to someone who may be coming up so they can have it better than me. But I have never been very good at being on the mentee side of things. So I recognize that in this role, and as that transition happened, I needed to sit back a little bit and learn from Bud. And what that looked like was being very curious, making dedicated space to have the conversations about what made him successful. Why did he pick me? What strengths should I be emphasizing? A lot of that mentorship also came from connections. I think we see that sometimes as sponsorship of getting folks into the right rooms and meeting the right people. And Bud was phenomenal at making sure that I met all of the key players, the movers and shakers, and the folks that got him to where he was. So that was a large part of my mentorship with him as well.
No, and that makes a lot of sense, of course, because it is specific, right? I mean, one of the things about being a good mentee is understanding that you are learning, but you're also having the communication back to the other person and trying to make sure that the dialogue between the two is concise.
Sure.
And that there's a very clear definition of what you're trying to get across and what you're trying to learn and grow from that aspect. So that makes sense. What type of roadmap? You mentioned this, that what you get together, and of course, with any succession, roadmaps are a little bit more like a winding maze through a forest than a super highway between New York City and Long Island. Totally different, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. There are many, many factors that made Bud successful in his career and that make a successful transition from one leader to the next. But at the same time, no one has ever been on this specific journey. No one has taken on an HR conference in a pandemic and post-pandemic world in our demographic at this time with the factors at play of what's happening in the world of work. And so there was a lot I could take, and I put a lot of stock in learning from Bud's framework and his roadmap of what worked for him. But I also had to realize I couldn't ask someone for directions to a place we've never been. I needed to be a little visionary and get my compass out and start getting on paper and realizing that there wasn't a roadmap already built for me. I was going to have to draft it myself.
Did you find that that was more difficult than you thought initially?
Definitely. I think inheriting a business like this, you take for granted that it is a legacy business. It's a legacy leader. Things have worked well for 25 years. We show up to the same venue, rinse and repeat, and we could keep doing that. And so it felt different coming on as a CEO to a company where I wasn't quite an entrepreneur in the sense that I was starting something up. I was taking over the reins for something that had been successful. And I didn't put as much thought into how it's going to need to be reinvented as we move forward. I knew there were pieces. I knew there were ways we could upgrade, to your point. I wasn't blowing anything up and starting from scratch. But I think I quickly learned that there was going to be a lot more to the strategy of building a long-lasting organization than just picking up the reins and saying, all right, let's keep doing this thing.
Yeah, and of course that's building trust, right? Because you are new. You are somebody who is coming in. And people know you, but they don't know you.
Right.
So this is balancing between the two. So give us a little taste of what that looked like.
I think the biggest challenge I have had as an introvert succeeding Bud is building the rapport and trust in the community that he established. I know by the nature of who I am, I'm a little more behind the scenes. I'm a little bit quieter. I require time to process and analyze. I need to work twice as hard to earn the faith of the community that he built. I'm not out in front of folks the way that he always was. The good news with that is that I know I've already done it with the team that I brought through that transition. I've brought their consensus. I've earned their faith and their trust of what's going to happen moving forward. And with that fabulous team, I've recognized that my earnestness and authenticity are the things that really are at the core of that bond. I now have that opportunity to forge those authentic bonds on a larger scale with the broader HR community. And it helps tremendously to have Bud's endorsement. I'm just so appreciative to the HR community for embracing me and giving me a shot to fill his large shoes.
No, that's great. And we're going to talk about those programs when we come back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. Come back for more great information. Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored to thank our sponsors for their support and contributions to this program. We thank the law firms of Verrill, Jackson Lewis, and Sheehan Finney, along with our partners, Paper Trails and Strategic HR. Want to be the next sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say HR Power Hour sponsor.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one. and we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVitie's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
With Zillow, you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for the bathroom where you'll give your kids shampoo mohawks. The bonus room you'll turn into a gym and work out in every single day, starting tomorrow. You're looking for hardwood floors worthy of your signature dance move, the glitchy robot.
You're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. And whether buying or renting, Zillow makes it easy with simple smart search features, photos, video walkthroughs, and more. Zillow, find your way home.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chuo, and again today we're talking with Katie Jones, CEO of Strategic HR. We're talking about succession, success lessons, and strategic HR events. Katie, we've talked a lot about some of the stories, some of the successes you've had in making the switch from a legacy business to your business in terms of moving forward. I'd like to talk a little bit about what that business is and the two events, the two big events that you have. Let's talk about the Maine HR Convention.
The Maine HR Convention is the larger of our two events. I consider it our flagship event. This year, it's coming up from May 6th to 9th in the beautiful Rockport, Maine at the Samoset Resort. A lot of folks have known us at that location, at that event for many years, and it has created a bit of its own mystique and legacy in its own way. We are the largest conference for HR professionals in the state, and we cater to folks just starting out in their career. Maybe they have either just entered HR or they're entering their career in general, to middle managers, all the way up to the executives. And we try to be a little bit of all things to all people there. We have several tracks of learning, some additional cohort learning that we've added for those beginners, and really focus on the three pillars of what I think makes a great conference: quality education, connection to wonderful resources through our sponsors, and then the experience, the atmosphere. It's been proven time and time again that folks learn and retain information better when they're having a good time. So we put a lot of emphasis on making sure that we're creating a wonderful environment for folks to join us.
And of course, now that we're talking about 2024, I know the convention registration just opened. And so from that perspective, tell us a little bit about the 2024 season. What's a little bit new? What's exciting? Maybe some quick excitement on who some of the top speakers are.
Yes, we have some really great keynoters joining us this spring. We have Amy Herman, who has written a book and taught a course on the art of perception. And she has a background in art history and uses that the skills of analyzing artwork and picking up on cues of the visual world around us to draw conclusions about our workplaces, the folks that we're working with. She has even worked with detective agencies to help them understand how to analyze a crime scene. So that'll be a really fascinating opener to kind of whet our palates of how we're going to look at things differently throughout the week. We'll also have a couple of folks that are celebrity or celebrity adjacent this year, which is pretty exciting. We have Ben Higgins, who was actually The Bachelor a few years back, and he had a really incredible journey with his mental health, both while he was on the show and after, focusing on what makes a true connection with someone and how we can welcome folks into our world, invite them to sit down with us and make those meaningful moments of impact in one another's lives. Finally, another that I'm really thrilled about is three kids who were featured on Marvel's Hero Project. Marvel's Hero Project was a show on Disney Plus with Marvel, like the superhero Marvel, where they found these kids throughout the country who were doing really cool work in their community, who are changing lives, making impacts, and just had incredible leadership. And they turned those kids into superheroes. They gave them a comic book. They gave them a jacket. They donated towards what their cause was. And we're going to bring those kids on stage to talk about how they became leaders, what gave them the audacity, and talk a little bit about the causes that they're passionate about.
No, that's cool. And where would people sign up for that particular conference at this point?
They can join us at mainhrconvention.com.
Boy, couldn't be more easier, right?
We try to keep it simple.
And we like the KISS principle, right? Keep it simple. All right. So there's obviously the second convention. And of course, we're talking with Katie Jones, CEO of Strategic HR. And we're talking right now about the Strategic HR events. The second event is up at the Mount Washington. It's going to be in October. October, what are the dates?
October 27th to 29th in 2024.
Perfect. So tell, for those who don't know what the conference is, because this is a much more ranging conference, not just about Maine or in terms of from a convention standpoint. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Sure. So the Strategic Mount Washington Conference, we consider it more of a retreat. And at that event, we target executives from New England. So it's a CHRO, a chief people officer, a vice president. We're getting away from the nuts and bolts of HR, less on the compliance front, and talking about overall strategy, culture, the big picture items that those executives have on their minds. We take all of them out of the city, away from their desks, to Mount Washington, which, David, as you know, is fairly remote. Some folks don't even get cell phone signal up there. And we try to get them into a space where they can think those high-minded thoughts among their peers, which is a really unique atmosphere for folks. Being the head of HR, being HR in general, is incredibly isolating in an organization. And to be at the top, it's not often that you get to be surrounded by some of the folks who are facing the same challenges as you. So we have a little bit slower pace to the programming there, and we try to take advantage of the experience of being in the mountains. We have the fireside chats that happen. We offer complimentary barista coffee. We bring in some wellness elements, all while tying it back to the education piece and making sure that those networking connections and resources are still being attained, just in a slightly different format.
So for 2024, what's new, what's exciting? I recognize registration is not yet open, but what is coming up?
Yeah, registration is not yet open, and we're actually currently building the program. So I have been looking at some really interesting topics for the year ahead and picking the minds of HR professionals around me of what they'd like to see discussed. One of the main things that I'm going to be adding to the program this fall is some intentional cohort learning around change management. So folks can opt into a change management track where they will meet with coaches several times throughout the event to set up a plan for what we learned at the conference, how we're going to implement it when we get back to our offices, and then even have some accountability and follow up after the conference to make sure they stay on track.
That sounds exciting, and I'm sure, as it always has been, we've been obviously part of the convention since its inception, right? Way back, as they said. We've gone through two hurricanes, sort of other fun things that have happened up at the Mount Washington. Matter of fact, I think I still have my pin saying we survived, whatever
that
was.
Oh, yeah, we survived.
Yeah, that was a great conference, but I'm telling you, the staff, the team up there, and the group, you know, you guys did a great job keeping everybody moving forward. So it's exciting that that convention is coming up. So, you know, we're going to wrap all this up in the last segment here. It comes up in a few seconds. I appreciate you being on the show, and we will be right back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Talk to you in a minute.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
Don't you love that feeling when you just nailed your look? When someone you barely even know comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love that outfit. Where did you get it?" That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix. They're a personal styling service. Tell them what you love, and they send great clothes for you to try on at home. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands you love and the looks that make you feel great. Stitch Fix is convenient. Get everything delivered right to you. Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clef, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HR Power.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. The HR Power Hour is, of course, at HRPowerHour.com, or it is podcast on all major podcast channels. It broadcasts at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And we are excited to have you listen to it. It also, of course, is on WLOB.com radio, and that's another area that you can listen to the show. We appreciate all our partners and our sponsors that make this show possible. And we also thank our guests who bring great information to the audiences each and every week. Today, of course, we've been talking with Katie Jones, CEOs of Strategic HR, and we're talking about succession success lessons and the Strategic HR events. Katie, as we wrap up the show today, as we have a couple minutes left, what are some key takeaways for somebody that maybe came in mid-show, maybe want to know about what it really takes to go through a really successful succession, as well as to put on great events?
Sure. The number one piece of advice I'd give to any leader or aspiring leader is that self-awareness is key. It's really important to know yourself, know thyself first, and to take time to reflect and meditate if that's your thing, or find some white space to have reflection time on your goals, your vision, and also understand where your weaknesses are, to find out where those gaps are, and don't be afraid to ask for help or hire to those gaps, and find ways to find folks that complement you around you. Second, I would encourage folks to run the experiment. That's one of my favorite phrases. You can't change what you don't change. And when taking over an organization, sure, there are lots of things that have worked wonderfully and you don't want to fix what's broken, but there's always room to think of things with a new perspective, to refresh some ideas or make some upgrades. And there's no harm in giving something a try. So run the experiment, see if it works. You can always go back.
So as we head into the last minute here, what's been the biggest surprise that one of the biggest surprises that you didn't anticipate when you went through the succession process?
That's an incredible question, David. I think the biggest surprise would be how much of an impact I have seen in our community, in our team, in the folks that attend our conferences, as the leader, as the face of the organization now. I always had a taste of it. I was attending our conferences. I knew our attendees. But when you're the figurehead, people are very open with their feedback. And to really see the impact that we're having has been just a huge blessing. And I'm very grateful to have the community around me that I do.
The second question on top of that would be, is there anything that you wished you had asked Bud that you didn't ask Bud?
Well, we still have lunch every couple of months. So so I get the chance to ask him all the time. But when I chat with him most recently, I asked him, why me? I was planning for this interview, and we've had lots of conversations about the transactions and moving forward with the organization. But I had never directly asked him, why me? And as Bud is one to do, he took me down a few pegs and he said, well, you were there.
Yeah, well, that's a factual, actual statement. Very good. Very good. I'm going to have to give him a compliment for that answer. That was great.
But a little more earnestly, he said, I have always admired your calm, cool demeanor, and that no matter what chaos or crises are happening behind the scenes, no matter what you're feeling inside, you convey this sense of calmness to those around you. And I knew that is what the organization needed going forward.
No, that's great. Well, Katie, I really appreciate you being a guest today on the show. And of course, being a sponsor of the show, we appreciate you doing that as well. You've given some great tips today on succession success lessons. And of course, you have two great programs. We, of course, will be there for those programs from CMA. And of course, the HR Power Hour will always find guests from your program. So we appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.